Jesus. We appreciate your love and faithfulness, your goodness and your loving kindness. We pray this morning that you open our understanding, that you give everyone testimony, that your word will come to us with great power, with wisdom, and that our understanding will be enlightened. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I appreciate the choir. Appreciate the choir. I'm trusting the Lord that this morning will come to the conclusion of the series on the principle of obedience and faith. We have established from inception that you cannot have faith without obedience. That you are in Christ today is an obedience to a message you heard. Somebody preached to you and you obey it by responding in faith. And so, even salvation does not come except by obedience and faith. Interestingly, that you receive salvation by obedience and faith, you will enjoy the entire journey of salvation by obedience and faith. It's not only faith alone that makes you enjoy the journey, even obedience, because salvation was a package received. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. Very important. The Bible says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for grace to the obedience, for obedience to the faith among all nations. And so, men that receive salvation by obedience to faith, as they obey the word that they heard, by accepting Christ and by faith, they receive salvation. And so, if obedience and faith are two key factors in our entrance into the journey of the kingdom, we will need faith and obedience to enjoy the inheritance of the kingdom. Interestingly, people seem to, entering into the kingdom by obedience and faith, they seem to forget obedient part. They profess faith but do not obey the words of faith. That's why the Bible says, there's a word of faith. That's why the Bible says in the book of James chapter 2, it says, show me your faith without works. The words there is obedience. The work is not church activity. I said that before. The work is not, engaging in church stuffs. The work is that you obey. Now, as I was studying this morning, the Lord opened my understanding and said to me, he said, do you know obedience varies and differs from one person to the other based on your dealings with God? Based on the assignment God has given to you. Now, people will ask, what is the secret of greatness? Many people have asked me, how many hours do you spend when I go minister in places? How many hours do you spend studying the Bible? People have asked me before, how many days do you fast? How many this, how many that? Now, there's a general obedience of the Word of God that all believers are expected to obey. Commandments, instructions. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and from verse 15. From thy childhood thou hast known the Holy Scripture that is able to make you wise unto salvation. For the Scripture is given for reproof, correction, for instruction unto righteousness, for instruction unto righteousness. And so, we have that for every child of God. He said, that is able to prove and make the man of God thoroughly furnished. But there are dealings that we have, individual dealings that we have with God, that God gives you some instruction He does not give another person. I was listening to Joyce Meyer one day, and she was wondering why God will ask her to fast a number of days every week, and her Christian sister, who is her friend, does not have that instruction. And so, she's been trusting God for a particular kind of jacket. And so, she's been praying to God. She's been obeying God fasting. And one day, that her sister friend came with that jacket and said, somebody just bless me with this jacket. It was the jacket she has been praying for. And she said, inside of her, she was like, God, why are you doing this to me? She does not fast like I fast. Now you have given her the jacket that I want, you have not given me. Now, there are things God tell you as an individual, He doesn't need to tell me. Now, there are things He has given to us in the scripture. As a child of God, you must obey, I must obey. But there are personal, the secret of greatness is finding out what God wants you to do as an individual. That's the secret of greatness. The secret of greatness differs from one person to the other. For me, it might be different. What God is asking me to do might be different from what He asks you to do. And so when you see somebody becomes great in life, don't go and start checking his secret life to see what God is, or to see what He is doing. Ask God what He wants you to do and obey it. And when you obey, you just see things happening in your life. And so, let's have this individual approach. Don't compare yourself. What are you doing so that I can do it? No. What is God asking you to do? What is God asking you to do? God asks you to give a particular amount of money. He may not ask the other person to do it. That obedience will attract a level of grace in your life. And God may not ask the other person to give anything, and God still blesses the person. And so as you grow in your dealings with God, as you come to maturity, you begin to understand certain things that are peculiar to you. Later, as I was growing in the Lord, I began to understand that I cannot but live my life on the word of God. I just knew it. God began to place certain demands on my life. Personal. I have friends that we got born again together. They didn't have such instructions from God. Yes, we all have basic instructions from the Bible that we all need to obey. But there's a place of maturity where God separates you from others and bring you in. And began to tell you things. You need to do this. He tells you the location you ought to be. He tells you the job you should take, you shouldn't take. And you'll be wondering why other people are, you know, serving God, enjoying God, doing the same thing. There's something different about you and about the assignment. What He told the parents of Samson was different from what God told the parents of Gideon. What is... Now you should begin to understand. My personal dealings with God. God is bringing me to a level where He has a personal dealing with me, where He gives me instruction, personal instruction, that I cannot measure. I cannot measure myself. I am not given the opportunity, the privilege of measuring myself with any other person. And say, if He's not doing it, I must not do it. Or if He's doing it, I must do it. It's a place of maturity in obedience. The place of maturity. May you come to understanding in Jesus' name. And so, spiritual authority finds expression when you come to this level of obedience. You begin to experience in your life command of God's grace. You begin to see certain happenings in your life when you keep these dealings. personal things God is telling you to do, when you obey them, nobody may see what you're doing, but your result will make them see what you have obeyed in the secret. People may not see when you are obeying God, when God said, do not lay with any man until I show you your husband, until you are married. People may not be there. I've told you several times, one of the things God started dealing with me with is on my marital life. God gave me instruction. Never look at any sister and say, I want to marry you. My own friends did not have such instruction. They had the liberty of, you know, checking out a sister, dating and dropping, and checking out and dating and dropping and praying. And I didn't have that privilege. It was a personal dealing. Now, when I was going through all that, people didn't see. People thought maybe I couldn't talk to sisters. But it's paying off today. We must come to the place of maturity. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, listen, becoming a man is when you come to a place, a level, where you do things that only you can explain. Many people may not understand around you why you are doing it. Only you and God. You are coming to become a man. Personal dealings. Now, spiritual authority. I want you to see 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 4. You see, I'm going to be teaching you some wonderful things today. Please open your mind. Open, you know, channels of your spirit. Just open your, because you are going to learn something this morning. Now, I'd like you to, we've been quoting this scripture in the place of prayer, and nothing happens. For the weapon of our warfare, they are not carnal, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of. You know, we quote some scriptures, and the way we quote them, we don't see the effect of those scriptures. Say, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations. One of the demonstrations of obedience is casting down dirty imaginations. It's a demonstration. I'm going to teach you the way you demonstrate obedience. That you practicalize what you are reading. Casting down negative thoughts is a demonstration of obedience. A thought just run through your heart. You say, no, this is not me. No. I used to speak to thoughts until I was able to go. One of the challenges I have when I was going, I have challenges with lustful thoughts. And so I began to learn at a point that you could speak to the spirit that sent these thoughts. So when negative thoughts run into my heart, I will say, I speak against you, you spirit of evil thoughts. Immediately, that thought will disappear like a smoke from my heart. You think you are the one thinking it, you are not the one. There's an arrow, there are a lot of signals going around you. A lot of spirits are speaking around you that you can't see. They are speaking, you can't see them. So they have ears. Casting down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The question is, how much of God's knowledge do you know? It is how much of the knowledge of God that you know that you'll be able to measure what to cast, what to bring down, what to abase, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is the secret of spiritual warfare. Now, give me verse 6. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. You know, this is a spiritual strategy. He said, and having in readiness to revenge, to deal with, to caution, to resist, to stop demonic, satanic activity. When you have proven yourself an obedient child, One of the challenges the sons of Sceva had, they were trying to cast out a devil from a man when they themselves are, their obedience have not been fulfilled. They mentioned men who are in obedience to the word. Said, we in the name of Jesus that Paul preached, the demon answered from inside, say, I know Paul, meaning I see his obedience. Say, who are you? Listen to me, in the spiritual realm, what gives us a stand is our relationship and obedience to the teachings of Christ. The truth, the personal dealings is what gives you an authority. So you can shout from now to tomorrow, gifted, anointed, and yet there's no manifestation of authority around you. Why? You are disobedient. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, give me from verse 4. Philippians 2 and from verse 4. Look not every man on his own on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yes. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Yes. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man. Listen, God did not force Jesus into becoming a man. I want you to understand this scripture. It was a willing adventure. He put off divinity and put on the carnal flesh. He off God and put on human flesh upon himself. He said, and being formed in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Guy, listen to me. From divinity to death. Can you look at that journey? From somebody who operated in the class of God. Number one, he dropped down from that class to the class of humanity, to the class of error, to the class of limitation. He was limited. The Bible says he was hungry. The Bible says he was tired. The Bible says he cried. He dropped down. Not only that, he dropped down from humanity to death. Obedience. Now look at what obedience did. He said, and became obedient unto death, even the death. Now, the death of the cross is the shameful death anyone can ever die, you know, as a Jew. It's the most shameful death. If the Jew wants to make you, they want to crucify you, they are telling you, we are going to kill you in the most shameful way. To kill a man is to hang him on the cross. He had only a napkin around him. Now, he said, no one took my life. My obedience gave it. I laid it down. It was, I willingly offer myself as a lamb. I was not forced by Pilate or any person. This is interesting. This is how authority, spiritual authority, find expression in people. Verse 9. Wherefore God also, because of that, because of his obedience, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Listen, obedience abased him. God exalted him. He said, God has also exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. The secret was obedience. He left the class of God, obedience, to the class of men. He went down from immortality to mortality, a shameful death. He lived in the grave. You know what kind of humiliation it is for somebody like Herod to stand before Jesus and say, do a miracle, let me see.
Humiliation. He could call an angel and say, see. You know the kind of humiliation it is in Gethsemane. The Bible said the soldiers slapped him. They handcuffed him. One of the things I pray will never happen to me is to be handcuffed for no reason. Jesus was handcuffed. They tied him. Humiliation. He gave himself to that. Now imagine when they came and said, who is he? Where is Jesus among you? When they were finding it difficult to identify Jesus. When he said, I am he, all of them fell down. When Peter removed knife, thinking it is a natural warfare. He said, you know, you don't need that. If I need angels, I will ask for legions. They will scatter everywhere. He has the power to come down. When the Pharisees said, prove, come down from the cross. Who we believe, come down. You know the Pharisees said that. They say, come down now. Save yourself, who will believe. He had the power, listen to me, to cause earthquake there. But he didn't do it. Obedience. Who will believe you, come down. The insult was not to add injury upon insult or insult upon injury. The man that was beside him, who was a criminal, said, you can't save yourself. You can't save us. What a level of humiliation. One of the ways you demonstrate obedience is in keeping quiet, even when you have power to do something. Even when you have power, you have the money, you have the resources to make things happen, to cause trouble, yet you are quiet. It's a demonstration of obedience. It's a demonstration of obedience. If it was some of us, when the Pharisees were saying, come down, who will believe? Say, okay, let me come down. When I come down, we'll go back. But he wouldn't do that. The obedience would not be fulfilled. He said, you cannot revenge disobedience until your obedience is fulfilled. No wonder as soon as he was about giving up the ghost, he said, it is finished. Meaning it is fulfilled. I have obeyed. Now what did he obey? The law. The demand of the law. Somebody, listen, only one man who obeyed the entire law, never transgressed in one, and yet died the consequence of not obeying the law. It is fulfilled, the assignment of obedience. Therefore, God exalts. See, the place, Jesus is at the highest place of authority, both on earth and in heaven. Even the devil knows. You can see all around the scripture, where he appeared before a man that was possessed, and the devil from inside of him shouted, say, you know it's not our time. They recognized the level of, as God anointed Jesus. He authorized Jesus with Holy Ghost and power. It's obedience. The secret to spiritual authority is not fasting, it's obedience. Fast from now till next year. Don't obey the word of God. Nothing will happen. I see many people who have died fasting. Obey! The mother of Jesus said, whatever he asks you to do, do it. He would have lost that miracle. Obey. Anything he, if he tells you that everybody should stand up, everybody should stand up. Obey. Now, I have the journey is a bit far. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to help. And so discover what is your personal secret. My path to greatness might be different from yours, based on what God is telling me to do. There are things God have told me to do, did not tell my friends to do. So if I choose not to obey and say, my friend is not doing it. What are your personal dealings with God? Find out. How does God relate with you? What is he asking you to do per season? Anytime there's going to be a change of level, a change of cadre in the spiritual, God gives an instruction. And your lifting is hidden in some instruction you refuse to obey. Anytime God is about to lift a man, he tells him what to do. It's not that God is that God wants to release, the resources are released. But for him to stretch out and receive it, God tell him to do this. God say, empty your account and go and sow it in that ministry. And say, God, and you will speak in disobedience, speak in tongue. Lord, the Bible says, I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. God has just spoken to you. Do you want to know the word more than the owner of the word? People start teaching God scriptures. But God, your word says. God said, I want you to go 7 days white fasting. In your mind. Smart man, he said. But they used to say 3 days vigil is equal to 3 days fast. Let me do 3 days vigil. 3 days white fast was the instruction. Let me do 1 day vigil equal to 3 days fasting. So that would be 9. The extra 2. You will remain where you are. Find out what God is asking you to do and do it. It's the secret to greatness. Never go and ask any man, what are you? What is God asking you to do? Your path to greatness might be different from my path, but we are all going the same destination. The only channel of faith is obedience. The only way to release faith for the miraculous, the only way to release faith for healing is obedience. How? God tells you, lay hands on that man that is blind. If you will not obey, you can't release faith for that healing. A friend of mine went to, Bishop Francis Waluke. One day, he was moving with his friend. The two of them were moving and they saw a blind man. And God spoke to the two of them at the same time. But the two of them didn't know. God spoke to them and said, that blind person, lay your hands. They were young believers. Lay your hands, that the person may receive his sight. The two of them were ashamed of what the other person would think if the person's eyes did not open. And God spoke to the two of them at the same time. Listen to me. There will be release of faith when the first person takes first step in obedience. And the miraculous will just happen. And so the two of them didn't. And after they have walked a long time, one just answered. He said, do you know, as we were going, the Lord told me that I should lay hands on that blind man that we passed by. He told you? He told me the same thing. But I was thinking maybe it won't happen. When they went back there, the blind man was not there again. It was an angel. God positioned there to activate the miraculous ministry upon their life. God positioned an angel that was blind. When they dashed that. Now, the person was not only blind, was lame. How will he have, when they rushed back, he was not there again. And so, the only channel to release faith and the miraculous is obedience. Many of us know that God has spoken to you in the secret of your heart to stretch your hands to people. But you restrain it. You were like, no. Now, the problem is that you are thinking you are the one to make it happen. You are not the one. Your part is obedience. His own is activation. Your own part is to obey. He is looking for hands that will obey. Your own part is just stretch your hands. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, let me quickly show you a few things that will continue. Obedience enhances the release of faith. When faith is released, victory is ascertained. 1 John chapter 5 from verse 1, quickly. 1 John 5 from verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the give me the amplified version. Give me an amplified version. By this we came to know, recognize and understand that we love the children of God. When we love God and obey his commandments, orders and charges, when we keep his ordinances and are mindful of his precepts and his teachings. Verse 3. For the true love of God is this, that we do his commandment, keep his ordinances, and are mindful of his precepts and teaching. And these orders of his are not irksome, burdensome, oppressive, or grievous. Let me explain something here. One of the challenges most of us think, we always think the part of obedience is a painful part. We always think the path of obedience will shortchange us. But let me tell you something. If you obey God, you will be the one to enjoy it. We always think the path of obedience is burdensome. It's too long. You won't get to where you want to when you obey God. That's many people's thought. But every person who believes that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah, is God begotten. If you love, give me verse. Why are you giving me this? I didn't ask for this version. Give me verse 4. I didn't ask for this. Only give me what I ask for. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Even our faith. I remember that faith came by obedience to the word of God. Now, I want you to know that the act of obedience that every child of God should demonstrate, number one, praying is an act of obedience. Write it down. Pray. In all the entire scripture, you see where commandments are given on prayers. If you are not a praying Christian, you are a disobedient Christian. A lot of believers who don't pray. They believe, but they don't pray. One of the acts of obedience is that you live a prayerful life. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray without ceasing. With thanksgiving, let your supplications be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, pray always in the spirit. With thanksgiving, let your supplication pray. Listen to me. If you are not praying, if your life is not a life of consistent prayer, ma, sir, you are living in disobedience. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. When he got into the temple and he saw people selling when they should be praying. He saw them merchandising like we have today. People will sell oil, sell anything sellable in the church. Hours they should be praying, they are selling. And some of you will become itinerary minister. Don't let anyone move you into the temptation of selling for them. It's a great disobedience to the word of God for prayer. Go and check. He commanded prayer all through, even from the Old Testament. Pray always. He said, it is good that men pray. Making intercession. He said, fast for kings. And so one of the ways you prove obedience, the life of prayer. Number two, give it. Give it. is an act of obedience. The Bible commanded us to be givers. The Bible said the Macedonian church, first they gave themselves. They gave themselves in obedience. And yet they gave their money. He said in their abject poverty, yet they could stretch their hands to the church in Jerusalem. One of the things the devil has fought today and has been able to raise so many disobedient children in the church is giving. The all this giving thing does not work. Stay there. I wonder how people just mesmerize spiritual instructions. See all this giving, they are deceiving you. You are not a giver, you are in disobedience. How many of you have God spoken to you and said, that money, give it to that brother? Say, God, la sembre koshkali bradadaya. Lord, I want to take Uber. I remember I was listening to Chris Oyakilome one day. He said he boarded a bus, a commercial vehicle. And, you know, he just gave. Not that he heard a voice. You know, knowing the scripture, so he paid for the transport fare of other brethren. He said, and he heard a voice. He said, you just paid for your first car. You wonder how you spend years saving money. You can't buy one car. Somebody pays somebody's transport fare. He bought his own car. You see, at times when I hear people talk about giving, don't give, don't do this. Pastors are eating your money. You see, when men don't understand spiritual things, they are bound. He said, for the preaching of the gospel, it is foolishness today that did not believe. It sounds foolish. That you can give your way out of pain. You can give your way out of poverty. There are strategies of the Spirit. There are systems that lift men from dungeon and put them in the palace. There are strategies. And God, go and check the Bible where God commanded giving. In different scripture, give, give, give. Go and check Galatians chapter 6 from verse 10. One of the ways to live in obedience to the word of God is to be an addict giver. You are not a giver. There is a part of God's word you are in disobedience to. You're a giver. It is true that we have so many men of God who are using this to manipulate the mind of God, but that doesn't change. That doesn't change the reality of the word of God. And that should not change your response to the word of God. Be a giver. Primarily to the things of the kingdom. Jesus lived his life giving. A man fed 5,000 men without wife and children. Jesus gave materially, he gave spiritually, he gave financially. I have always said it as I was growing in the Lord. It's one of my greatest passions that I'm going to give cars to so many men of God. Listen to me. I was saying it when I've never in my life ride a bike. Was when I was saying, I am going to give cars. One of the things I hate to see in my life is to see a servant of God in poverty, in pain. I hate it. If there's anything I hate passionately, to see a servant of God begging is an insult to divine provision. How can the man who is supposed to show people how to make it is in pain, poverty? When I see men, anytime I see a servant of God wearing faded suit, it makes me want to shed tears. When I go around traveling, when I see some of them stay in the garage like beggars, preaching so that they could get something. See some prophets, all their clothes is stained from behind. One of the things, oh my God, help me. Be a giver. Let me tap in. Say, be a giver. Live in obedience. Number three act of obedience for every child of God is forgiving. It's an act of obedience to forgive. If you don't forgive people their sins, you are living in disobedience and you are giving up yourself for the tormentor. It's one of the way you demonstrate obedience. Be a giver. Let me tap anybody, say, be a giver. Sorry, be a forgiver. Yeah. Forgive people of their sins. That people will not sin against you, count it out. Your wife will sin against you. Your children will sin against you. Your husband will sin against you. Your neighbor will sin against you. Your pastor. I will do some things that will offend you. Will you forgive me? A lot of children of God living in disobedience. Why? They will not forgive. And now you see them praying the blessing of God. But there's an area in his life where the devil has gotten a foothold. He will not forgive. He is a preacher. He speaks in tongues. He sings very well. He plays instruments. But he's still demonstrating a level of disobedience. Why? He will not forgive. And he's praying the blessing of God. There are many like that. Hear them saying, Odigbata abadoru. Is there anybody you are holding in your mind? You are in disobedience. And let me tell you something, the danger, I'm still going to tell you the danger of disobedience. Anything can get you down anytime when you live in disobedience. That's why anytime you are in disobedience, God keep calling on you on time. Because when the consequence hits you, God will be justified. Forgive people. In the synoptics, he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those. It was Jesus teaching them how to pray. Now, in the synoptics, he taught them that way because they have not themselves received forgiveness that came from resurrection. So they can only forgive based on the fact that they are to be forgiven. So they await forgiveness. Forgive our sin as we forgive. Now, in the epistles, the letter written to you and I, we are asked to forgive because we have been forgiven. You understand that now? Why will you forgive people? You were forgiven. Is there anybody here that was not forgiven of his sin? Raise up your hand. Let me see you. That you did not receive forgiveness. Because you receive it, you must give it. While we were yet sinners, he loved us. While we were yet in our sin, he loved us. He commanded his love towards us. Forgive. And so if there's anyone here, somebody has jilted you before, somebody robbed you, somebody did something against you, the first way to show, I remember many years ago, I've told you this story. I was in school on an Easter Sunday. I will never forget. I bought a new phone. And my brother was with me in school. I went into the bedroom to take my bath, preparing for church service. And I started hearing, yeah. I was wondering what was happening. So I wanted to finish and just go out and check. I never knew I've been robbed. They pointed gun at my brother like this. Took my phone away. And everybody in the compound started raining curses. This will happen to them. They will die. They will burn. They will sink. All kind of curses. And I was preparing a dangerous curse. Because that phone was new. You know that kind of Nokia phone where there used to be football? They call it die. I used to play football on it. I was preparing a dangerous, a curse that has anointing backing. And I heard the Lord say to me, they never open your mouth and say anything there. My servant is among them. I said, hey. Listen to me. When you curse whom God has not caused, you'll be in problem. You'll be the one in problem. matter what anybody has done to you, forgive. It is an act. Just thank God that you are in obedience. Forget the pain. Forget what the person has caused you. Just be happy that I am doing this, you know, and God sees it. It's a sacrifice. Number four. Service is living in obedience. You are in church, you are not doing anything. There's no particular thing you are doing for God. You just come warm the bench. You are in disobedience, sir. The Lord commanded us to be laborers in the kingdom. When you, all you come to do is to harvest what people as labor, you are in disobedience. You should be, your hand should be fine doing something in the kingdom. The Bible says, and a man called for laborers into his work. He employed some in the morning, some in the afternoon, some in the night, some late, and he paid all of them. But all the people he called, there was none that was not working. You come to church, you are not doing anything. You are in disobedience. We train you to serve. When we teach you, we are teaching you to serve. Serve the kingdom. Serve humanity. Serve God. When you are doing that, is in obedience. Might be inconvenient for you. Some of you come to rehearsal, it's not convenient. You pay transport fare. Unlike Ibadan, it's another place where you just some 2 kilometers, you have to board like 3 or 4 taxis. Always remember, I am doing this in obedience. It's an act of obedience. I would have loved to mention the word fasting. You know, if you fast, it's in obedience to the scripture. But most often, I used to see fasting as something that should not be done religiously. It should be done by divine leading or personal dealings. Some of us, God has some personal dealings with us on how many days you should fast in a year. He may not tell me to do that, even as your pastor, and he may tell you to do it. Maybe he's trying to deal with your appetite, I don't know. Praise God. Did you learn something today? I quickly want to show you a few things as I close. One of the ways you practically, apart from this scriptural commandment that has been given to us, you demonstrate obedience in the face of sin and Satan. Number one, say after me, say resist. Come on, say it. Say resist. 1 Peter chapter 5 from verse 8. 1 Peter 5 from verse 8. You must learn how to say no. Listen to me. For you to be an obedient child of God, you must learn to say no. It's not everything. Yes, yes. There was a sister I met when I was in school. She was crying. I said, what is the problem you have? He said, I don't know how to say no to men. Anybody that comes, she sleeps with him. Listen to me. If all you do is yes, yes, anybody bring any garbage to you, yes, you can't live in obedience. You must learn to resist. Give me the King James Version. Whom resist steadfastly in faith. Give me verse 8, please. Be sober and be diligent because of your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. How do you restrain him? Give me verse 9. Resist. Tell your neighbor, say resist. You must learn to resist means to say no, I will not do it. It's a way of demonstrating obedience. If you don't know how to say no, you'll soon be living in disobedience. People bring bribe to you, you collect. A woman told you, say, Jaja mi modu olo aba mi. Listen to me. You resist. Say, no, I'm a child of God. I will not do it. You resist. And when you resist, you know what you are doing. You are acting in obedience. James chapter 4, verse 7. James, King James Version, James 4 and verse 7. Submit yourself. One of the ways you demonstrate obedience is submission. Submit yourself therefore to God. When you submit yourself to the will of God, it's a demonstration of obedience. You see another resist here. Resist. Resist the devil. And he will what? He will flee from you. Resist. Say no. I will not do it. These are the languages of resist. I will not eat it. I will not sleep with her. I will not touch it. You are resisting. It's not everything. Say yes, you know, I don't have the... No. Resist. It's better to live in obedience and men see you as a fool than live in the disobedience and men celebrate you. It's better you live in obedience and men say you are mumu. May I be mumu to men and be wise unto God. This guy is a mumu guy. That can't babe come to your house. You don't know, do anything. You be mumu. May I be such mumu? Have you seen where brothers, where guys talk, say that can't babe come? You know, you don't know, do anything. Just stay there. They look at him. You guy. I remember when I was in NYC camp. Listen, I went to preach to one worry boy. I was telling him, you know, give your life to you. He said, make I ask you first. You know they drink. I said, yeah, you mean alcohol? I said, I pity this guy. Oh. Now, I was trying to preach to him. So if you see pain for this camp now, you're not going to do anything. I said, no, I'm a child of God. He said, I better come see this guy. Oh. How do you take enjoy your life? And I was trying to preach to him. He saw me as a fool. That is why some of us, we lose our defense. Because you want to be seen as smart. You want to be seen as wise. I looked at him, I pitied him. He looked at me, he pitied me. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. How does the devil flee? He doesn't flee by you just saying, you know, God help me. You are the one, not God. I said, you are the one to say no. God will not help you say no. You are the one to say no. No! So the devil took a run when you resist him. Interestingly, there's a place where the Bible says you should flee. That period, you don't say, you are the one to look for an exit. Don't wait for the devil to run. You run. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. Give it to me. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. Flee! Flee! He didn't say resist fornication. Run! Flee fornication. Listen to me. To run is an act of obedience. There are times we run. I love the Yoruba people who say, Majamasa. There's a time to run as a child of God. Can you see it? Tell your neighbor, say there's a time to run. Yeah. The face of fornication. You don't need to be lente, mingla, kaproske, tire. Don't speak in tongues. Run. Run for your life. Flee. It's not being a weakling that you run. At times when you run, it's a proof of strength. To run at times means you are strong. Because some people couldn't run. I was sharing yesterday with my wife of a testimony I heard from Dr. Odukoya. A guy was brought to Dr. Odukoya, half body paralyzed. And when they brought him, they asked him what happened. He said he was sleeping with one lady. As he was sleeping with the lady was talking to an invisible being. And he was telling the invisible being, say, should I add this one to the number? Yes, you add this one too. Okay. He said, Pastor Dukoya, he was now saying, when you heard her talking to, why don't you stand up and run? He said, I couldn't run. I couldn't run. Thank God for the days you could run. Praise God. So, to run at times is obedience. Run. They will say you are weak, but God knows you are strong. Flee. 1 Corinthians 10, 14. 1 Corinthians 10, 14. 1 Corinthians 10, 14.
Another way, what another thing you should run from? You have seen fornication. It's an act of obedience to run from fornication. He said, 1 Corinthians 10:14. Therefore, my dearly beloved brother, flee idolatry. Flee. Anywhere you see people, don't engage in idol worship. And idolatry for us today can be anything. Whatever you idolize, you value above God, becomes your idol. Flee idolatry. It's an act of obedience to run away. Your family, they said, only kokotom ashe lodo, don't send money. Flee. Don't send money to them. It's idolatry. Flee idolatry. 1 Timothy 6:11. Flee. We are still on flee. All this one is flee. There are so many ways to run. And it's a proof of obedience. Running is a proof of obedience. 1 Timothy 6:11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. What are the things you see? Give me from verse 9. Let me show you the things you should flee from. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful laws, which drown men in destruction and perdition. I want to make it anyhow. This way, make it. I must make it December. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith, they can pursue money anyway, anyhow, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. See what churches have become today. What servants of God have become. Servant of God have become. You want to get it anyhow. I must get there. I must ride the car. I must do this. I must do that. The Bible says you should flee from those things. Those are the things that should be running after you, not you running after them. So when you obey, when you flee, automatically they will run after you. When you run away from them, what will happen? They run after you. 2 Timothy 2:22. I will close with this. 2 Timothy 2:22. I really want to round up this teaching this week, but let's see how possible. Flee also useful lusts. Useful lust means carnal cravings. I must buy iPhone 7. Anything that takes hold of your heart as if you want to die, run away from it. Don't buy it. If I did not buy it today, as if you want to die, the spirit of lust has held your neck like this. Actually, I must buy it. You are already lost. Why can't you? If you don't have what to wear, wear your garments. You will look different from any other person. Everybody will be looking at you. They won't look at the people who bought Ashebi. Flee also useful lust, but follow righteousness, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Did you learn something this morning? I want to close with this. Romans 6:16-17. This strategy to capture Satan and sin. Obedience is the greatest weapon to crush sin and Satan. Obedience. To bring sin and Satan to subjection. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself. Now this has nothing to God. It's about you. To whom ye yield yourself, servants to obey. His servants ye are to whom you obey. If you yield yourself to temptation and sin, you become obedient to sin and Satan. That's what the scripture is saying. Whether of sin or death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Meaning the teachings Paul gave the Romans, they have chosen to obey,
the scriptures. And so that has destroyed. Let me show you. Give me verse 14. Give me verse 14. Let me show you something. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? You have given yourself unto obedience to righteousness, not to sin. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Bow down your head. And talk to God this morning and say, God, broaden my understanding. Make me understand the dealings you are having with me. Make me understand what you want me to do. Help me to do them. Help me to live in obedience to your word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.